For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, and we both try to bring you a wide variety of really good information all about you and your health. Do tune in every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you can catch Kevin's discussion on omega-3s and fish oils next Sunday, 10 a.m. on Sunday. Now, the show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com, so you can visit the site to hear previous radio shows. Also, visit Village Green, the site or the store on Cedar Lane. You get expert advice on supplements in both places. You can ask questions and get guidance. And Village Green is your resource for questions about your health, and they carry a superior line of supplements from many manufacturers. And please do take a look at Village Green's own Pathway products. Today, we are going to talk about autism. We're going to define it. We're going to talk about what it is, what it isn't, what's behind it, and how it has an impact on many aspects that you may not have been familiar with. And we will also talk about some of the treatments, and we'll be focusing on what we call the biomedical and nutritional approaches, which address the underlying issues. You may know that I'm a co-author of a book, The Kid-Friendly ADHD and Autism Cookbook, and my co-author is Pamela Compart, who is a developmental pediatrician in Columbia, Maryland. And we were pleased to write this book, and even more pleased that it's been so helpful. We are right in the middle of our second book, which will be a guide for the nutritional supplementation for autism and ADHD. So let's talk about autism and what it is. Why is it called the spectrum? And we like to refer to it as autisms because there are many categories within autism that different children may express. We call them subsets. So what is the overall definition? And this is according to the DSM-4. And it's a much more complex order than ADHD, but like ADHD, it has no specific blood test or brain scan that can make the diagnosis. It's a collection of symptoms, which is what ADHD is as well, and it requires a total of 6 symptoms from the following 3 major areas, with at least 2 symptoms in the first area and at least 1 each from the second and third areas. Now, this is required to make an official diagnosis, but I will interrupt my discussion and say at this point that when children start showing any sign that is in the autism or ADHD category, we no longer believe in watch and wait. That is no longer the case, because if a child is going down the wrong path developmentally, the longer we wait, the further away they are from the right path. Think of taking 2 paths and you're at the V, and you can go to the right, which is the wrong way, or the left, which is the right way. The further down you go that right arm of the V, the further apart, the further away you are from the path. So the new pediatric approach is, at the first sign, look for getting an evaluation, and that's available free in every community in the United States. Every state has the availability. It's infants and toddlers, and you can get an evaluation for your child from birth on, so please take advantage of it. So what are these qualities that we look for, these findings, these symptoms. Qualitative impairment in social interaction. That means they have marked difficulty in the use of nonverbal behaviors such as eye contact and facial expressions, body postures and gestures to regulate social interaction. They have a failure to develop age-appropriate relationships with peers, a lack of spontaneous seeking to share enjoyment or interests with others, and a lack of social or emotional reciprocity, the give and take in relationships. Now, qualitative impairment in communication is the next one. So the social interaction is the first, communication the second. Delay or lack of development of spoken language. That can be a lack of gestures, such as pointing, marked difficulty in initiating or sustaining conversations with others, and stereotypical or repetitive use of language or unusual language, such as quoting memorized dialogue from TV or videos or using phrases totally out of context. We call it scripting. They've memorized it, they use it, and it may apply to the situation or it may not. And there is also a lack of spontaneous make-believe play or social play appropriate to the developmental level. Now, the next group of symptoms is this restricted, repetitive, and stereotypical patterns of behavior, interests, and activities. There is an unusual preoccupation with a particular area of interest that's abnormal, either in its intensity, on focus, apparently inflexible adherence to specific non-functional routines or rituals, and stereotypical and repetitive motor behaviors, hand flapping, whole body rocking, and persistent preoccupation with parts or objects. Spinning the wheels on a car rather than using it in play. So it's an excessive attention to an object or an activity or even a verbal. There are verbal, what we call self-stims, where they repeat either a verbal sound or a word over and over. So the important feature of ASD, autism spectrum disorders, is that the diagnosis is not just about delayed development or lack of certain skills. Much of it is about the quality of skill or interaction. So let's go a little bit further. And what I like to say, because the first thing people say is, what causes it? We know that the prevalence has increased exponentially, and that's why everybody is concerned. It's over 500,000 and growing. Prior to 1985, there were three to five diagnosed as having ASD or autism out of 10,000. From 1998 to 2000, there were 30 to 35 per 10,000. And by 2006, it was 67 per 10,000 people. And the current CDC estimate is over 500,000 from birth to age 21. It is the fastest growing developmental disability, 806% growth in autism, 31% growth in all other disabilities. Now, the first thing that someone says is, well, there's just better diagnosis because now we're diagnosing 1 out of 100, 1 out of 90, and even 1 out of 60, depending on the area of the country. It's the increase is exponential. So naturally we look at this and we say, okay, what's causing this? Is it genetic? Well, there are no genetic epidemics. And is there overdiagnosis? We have absolutely better diagnostic skills, and that has been looked at. So if you look at an 800% increase in autism, you can look at 200% to 400% of that as being better diagnostic skills. So you still have an extreme increase in the epidemic called autism. So what is behind it? Very simple. You may have heard me say this on the show before. Environmental modification of gene expression. It's what you come into the world with and what you're exposed to. The environment is everything. It's the environment of the womb. It's the environment once a child is born. It's food. It's diet. It's what you drink. It's what you breathe. It's the people you're exposed to, the illnesses you get, the toxins, the medications. And yes, among those medications are vaccines. So we're looking at what we like to call total load. But why is there this connection between genes and environment? And this is a new concept that was discovered in 85, actually by work at NIH, and not really brought out until the 90s. It's called epigenetics. It's around the genes. Now, we were always taught that genes are hardwired. That's it. The gene is it. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, the gene doesn't change, but the way the gene expresses itself can be positive or negative, and that you have power over. So the environment, the insults, and the good things you do allow your genes to express themselves negatively or positively, and it's a plastic situation. It can change. And this is probably the basis of why we use the term recovery. The statement is autism is treatable, recovery is possible. Someone asked me, how can that be? Because autism is a disability, and the definition of autism then would be that of a disability, which means it's incurable. And my response was, first of all, don't tell the parents who've had recoveries and the children who have recovered that it's impossible. And the definition then of autism needs to change. Because when we treat the abnormal findings in each child with autism, we see a change. And that change can be anything from some improvement to profound changes. And we will be talking about that in the next segments. So what lies behind this? The questions are, what comes first? Do foods and toxins cause problems, or do problems cause food and toxin reactions? Is the problem the camel or the load? And the answer is yes. It's absolutely yes. That underlying predispositions, including problems in gut flora, digestion, absorption, transport, metabolism, nutrition, utilization, oxidation, sulfation, and I will cover some of these, problems that you innately have in those areas, then when you combine that with environmental insults, then you get into a diagnosis, and we're talking today about autism, and that person may have reactions to a wide variety of foods, additives, toxins, chemicals, medications, vaccines, and environmental exposures. So we will be talking about that shortly in the next section. Before we do that, some people say, well, what are those additives and toxins? You know, what's wrong with the environment? Number one, there are over 3,000 food additives. Most have been grandfathered in, and there's inadequate testing. And food additives and coloring, the American Academy of Pediatrics acknowledged for the first time what has been stated by parents and many researchers for four decades. They tested 3-year-olds, 8- and 9-year-olds, and they gave them artificial food coloring and preservatives. And the typical child's drink resulted in a significant increase in hyperactivity and shorter attention spans. And that was in The Lancet in 2007. Now, the American Academy of Pediatrics looked at all of the studies on this, and they acknowledged that after 15 trials, there was the conclusion that a wide variety of chemicals can result in neurobehavioral toxicity, and some children may be more sensitive. Their statement was, a preservative-free, food coloring-free diet is a reasonable intervention. The editors note, I quote, we as skeptics who long doubted parental claims admit we might have been wrong. We'll talk more about this, folks, in our next segment. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, and I'm your host. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alter the show with my co-host and colleague, Kevin Pissarro, bringing you lots of great information all about you and your health. The show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com. You can visit the site to hear a previous radio show. And we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Please tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion on omega-3 fatty acids and fish oils. So today's topic is autism. And we talked about what autism is, and we used the term autisms. And it's the consequence of environmental impact on gene variants and gene expression. It's what you come into the world with and what happens to that. So what kind of dysfunctions do we see in autism? There is inflammation and immune disorders. There is barrier integrity, leaky membranes. That includes the brain and the gut. There are GI problems, gastrointestinal problems, neurological dysfunction, metabolism and biochemical problems in very specific identifiable pathways such as methylation, oxidation, sulfation, detoxification, and even mitochondrial core energy metabolism function. There is also an impaired response to surroundings and stimuli, to foods and food components, to toxins, artificial chemicals, pesticides, medications, drugs. So that's kind of the overview. We talked about that in the first segment. But we were talking about what does the environment have in it that is so bothersome. And I mentioned the food additives and the fact that the American Academy of Pediatrics acknowledges that they contribute to a wide variety of neurobehavioral issues, delays, language delays, and hyperactivity. Now we've got a lot of man-made chemicals, and these are new to humans in the last 100 to 200 years. 700 new man-made chemicals each year. And what do we now have? 84,000 man-made chemicals in commercial use in the United States. Over 17,000 of those are kept secret from the public and officials, forbidden by law, a 1976 Toxic Substances Control Act, exempts from public disclosure any information that could harm the long-term competitiveness of the companies. So guess what, folks? In the 70s, the manufacturers were allowed to put any chemical out without testing. Testing is not mandatory, it's voluntary. And if they test, they have to reveal. The EPA acknowledges that they have only tested 200 of 84,000 man-made chemicals that are in the environment now and forever. Even when banned, they are present. The average baby is born with 110 toxic chemicals in the umbilical cord blood, many of which have been banned for decades. So when we say we're not going to make any more, it doesn't mean the ones we have leave. They get into the deep tissues, in the neurological tissue, in the bone, in the thyroid, in the breast, the ovaries, the testes, the prostate, and they cause lots of problems. Now let's look at our children before 1980 and our children now. Before 1980, there were 7,000 diabetics. Now there's almost 150,000. Asthma went from 2 million to over 10 million. Learning disabilities from 796,000 to over 3.5 million. ADD, ADHD from under 1 million to almost 5 million. And autism, 1 out of 2,000 to 1 out of 91 to 100, 1 out of 60. As I said, it depends on the community. And we call this beyond genetics. There are no genetic epidemics. And what is now recognized is that it's environment, and it's not just the air you breathe, it's the food you eat, it's a lifestyle. It's the environment of the womb. There are many, many issues. We can't cover them all today. But what has been said is that for the first time in two centuries, the current generation of children in the U.S. have shorter life expectancies than their parents. Now, this is primarily due to the rapid rise in childhood obesity, which leads to diabetes, heart disease, kidney failure, and cancer, all now occurring at younger and younger ages. My career has been over 40 years in nutrition, and I can tell you that obesity and diabetes and cardiovascular diseases were conditions that we saw in people over 50, not in children under 20. And now we see it routinely. So even within my career, I've seen these changes. Now, there's a paradigm shift that a lot of people are not aware of. I mentioned the American Academy of Pediatrics and their stand not only on additives but on pesticides. They have acknowledged that the pesticides, very common, the organopesticides, contribute to neurodevelopmental delays, and that it is smart, again, to eat a diet not only free of additives, but also free of pesticides. And that's easy. Organic, organic, organic. Eat organic. If it's not organic, it has artificial additives, pesticides, and the farming techniques were not organic. So the AAP now forbids the use of fluoride drops in infants. There is a huge National Academy of Sciences report. They recognize that artificial additives in common children's foods increase hyperactivity. I mentioned that. And they direct pediatricians to support nutritional treatments in autism, including dietary interventions and supplementation. This is the American Academy of Pediatrics. And they joined forces with the Autism Research Institute toward preventing and treating autism spectrum disorders. And I am an educator for the Autism Research Institute, and you may have heard me speak about that in the past. Another note on fluoride. What was frightening about the fluoride is that there was an increase in bone cancer in adolescent males for those who consumed water, fluoridation, via the water supply, reduced IQ in children, and neurodevelopmental effects. They are now studying this because it has contributed to problems. I'm a dental hygienist and a licensed dietitian nutritionist. And my first career was dental hygiene, and I would not use the topical fluorides on children under 5 because when we studied fluoride, I was shocked at how dangerous it could be and how poor the testing was. And what we have found out is that the type of fluoride that is used in 90% of the water supplies that are fluoridated, that type of fluoride has not been tested thoroughly enough. So the Institute of Medicine is concerned about this, of the National Academy of Sciences, and you will be hearing more. Then the FDA acknowledged that mercury fillings, amalgams, are neurotoxic to fetuses and developing children. The CDC acknowledged, and this was about 4 years ago, that it had no basis for the statement that vaccines have no connection to autism, speech delays, and PICs. The data was weak, not useful, uninformative, and misleading. I am quoting Julie Gerberding, who was the CDC director at that time. They acknowledged that they did not look at the data correctly. Now, there's more data now that says vaccines aren't an issue. But the one study that has not been accomplished and which many scientists are calling for is a comparison of the children who are fully vaccinated with those who are not fully vaccinated and those who are not vaccinated at all. And the pilot studies have revealed that there is a difference, an increase in males. The female cohort was not large enough to make an opinion, but there's an increase in males in diagnosis of ADHD, learning disabilities, and or autism in those who are fully vaccinated as compared to those who are not. So there have been a number of small studies, and there are currently some primate studies going on. So the issue isn't closed. Scientists usually say we need one more study. When somebody says we need no more studies, we've done it all, vaccines have no role. And I will tell you that vaccines don't cause autism, but that's not the question. Do vaccines, the components and neurotoxins in those vaccines, the combination in the vaccine, and how it is delivered have a profound influence of the development of any neurodevelopmental delay in certain susceptible individuals? Then the answer is absolutely yes. And this is what we talked about going back to environmental modification of gene expression. There are individuals who are predisposed to diabetes but may never get it if they do everything right. There are people predisposed to autism. And the best case I know of is identical twins where one was ill and on antibiotics and the other was well when they got their MMR DTaP. And the boy who was absolutely well had no side effects. His identical twin cascaded into autism. So both boys had the predisposition, and we're going to talk about those predispositions in the next segment. So both boys had the same predisposition, but the environmental load was different in the twin who became autistic or diagnosed with autism. So if you've just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. I'm Dana Lake, your host. And the show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We will be back after the break with more information on autism.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care, to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise.
For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with my colleague and co-host, Dr. Kevin Passaro, trying to bring you a wide variety of very good information all about you and your health. The show is streamlined through myvillagegreen.com. Visit the site to hear previous radio shows, and also you can get great information on the Village Green site and, of course, at their location on Cedar Lane. Now, next week, tune in on Sunday at 10 a.m., because that's when we're here, to hear Kevin talk about omega-3s and fish oils. Our topic for today is autism, and we talked about the definition, the increase, that it's not all genetic, that there is a genetic component, but that the most important determining factor is the environmental exposure, and that's the environment, really, preconception, in the womb, after birth, and for one's early life especially. Most autisms are diagnosed, they used to be diagnosed at 4, 5, and 6. Then we started diagnosing them earlier, and I'm actually getting referrals from people who have children that are 1 year old, and they and their doctors have noticed communication difficulties and developmental issues. So it's early recognition that's critical. So we know that it has been an exponential increase, and we also know that there are certain systems that are involved when it comes to autism. And a lot of people are unaware of this. And I think that's because autism is in the psychological diagnostic, the DSM-4. And that diagnostic criteria is based on behaviors. And so children with autism present with these neurological behavioral issues. They also have more issues than that. So therefore, it was looked at in a behavioral manner, and the medications used were to stop them from self-injury, to calm them, quiet them. But none of those treatments were addressing the underlying imbalances that give us the presentation of autism. So what are all those findings that we see? First of all, when we do testing, we do some very sophisticated testing. This is well beyond a routine blood work, which is a basis for all evaluations, your CBC, the metabolic panel to see glucose levels, liver, kidney function, electrolytes. That's a standard workup. That is not going to reveal underlying metabolic and nutritional issues, but it's very important to look at that. We go further and we look at toxic metals. We look at serum iron and serum ferritin, because if those are low, we have to find the reason, and of course people look to the GI tract, they look to blood loss or poor dietary intake, but having an accumulation of toxic metals in your system will give you a low serum iron and a low ferritin. We also look at vitamin D, very critical. It's my opinion that every infant should get a vitamin D test. It's not enough to say, we'll just take the RDA, because that applies to only healthy individuals. It does not apply to those with special needs, those on medications, those with digestive problems, those with a variety of conditions. And we do find that vitamin D deficiency is common in the adult and adolescent and infant and child groups. So it's here, it's a deficiency, and it starts in the young and it goes through the old, and it affects all of us in different ways, but in child development it has a profound effect. So I will talk a little bit about vitamin D. So that's one of the tests that we do. Then we get really specialized, because we're looking for the underlying metabolic issues. And the most common one we see is methylation and sulfation issues. Now, how do we find out about this? We do urine organic acid analysis to identify defects in cellular metabolism of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, fatty acids, antioxidants, neurotransmitters, and markers for defects in sulfation, methylation, oxidation. What is this in layman's terms? This is how we get rid of toxins. Sulfation is part of detoxification. You get rid of toxins through a garbage bag called glutathione, loaded with sulfur, and it's the garbage bag of detox. Now, if you clean out your house and you have no garbage bags, you're just moving the garbage around. What we've identified in many children on the spectrum is this inefficiency in the ability to handle the usual level of toxins that are around. This does not mean that they get excessive loads. It means that their disposals are too small to do the job. Now, we were not designed to be exposed to all these 84, 85,000 man-made chemicals, but we are. And our liver is not designed that way. I joke and say we need a backpack-sized liver, not the size liver that we have. We were designed to handle the natural toxins on Earth, but not this onslaught that we've had. And we've seen the problems in the animals and the birds and the fish, and certainly now in humans as well. So when you don't get rid of your toxins, they stay. They go into the brain. They go into the deep tissues. They go into the gut, the glands, the thyroid, breast, testes, ovaries, prostate. They settle in all of these places, and they cause problems. And we spend expensive nutrient money to get rid of toxins. When they come in, we have systems that depend on zinc, that depend on vitamin C, that depend on selenium, many other nutrients, to get rid of toxins. And when we use those nutrients up to do that and deplete our bank accounts of those nutrients, then when we're exposed to more, we can't fight them off. We can't get rid of them. We're out of garbage bags. My other analogy is, if you have a small disposal and it's fine for you and your husband and it's just the two of you, it handles the garbage that you have, but if your neighbors started using that disposal or your entire county, you would have rotting food in your kitchen. It would not be, the disposal would not be able to handle it. It would ultimately get weaker and weaker and could even break down. And that's what happens to our disposal systems. Now, they have technical names, cytochrome P450s, that's phase 1, and phase 2, glucuronidation sulfation. I give you the names because they're real. They're measurable. They exist. And this is what we find in autism. So children who build up toxins are going to have problems with their brain, problems with behavior. Now, what else do we see in autism? Immune problems. And these, again, can be tested and identified. Many of the children make antibodies against blood-brain barrier. That can be triggered by a flu, by a strep infection, even by a vaccination. And if a child has already an immune disorder and receives a vaccination because the immunity doesn't mature, it starts to mature around 6 months and continues to mature. When we receive that, if the child does not have the protection in the immune system, it can backfire. And antibodies can attack neurological tissue. Again, these anti-blood brain barrier antibodies can be measured. This is very sophisticated testing. And I think it's why this aspect called the biomedical intervention is becoming so accepted, because we've got the tests, we've got the findings, we can treat, we can retest, we can see improvements, we can follow with follow-up testing. So what else do we see? We see gut problems, profound maldigestion, malabsorption problems. There is recognized now by traditional medicine something called autism-related enterocolitis. There are some individuals that argue whether this exists, but it's a different form of colitis. It is not typical colitis. It is a specific kind of colitis that occurs in a subset of children with autism. They're easy to pick out. They have horrible smelly bowel movements. They have gut inflammation and gut problems. And when they are scoped by a pediatric gastroenterologist, those findings are recorded and treatments are given. There's a lot of inflammation in the brain and the gut, and there's a gut-brain connection. The gut actually makes a lot of neurotransmitters, and the same neurotransmitters are in the gut and the brain. So it is not unusual that autism has this gut-brain connection. So we've got inflammation, immune problems, and because of the gut damage, many food intolerances occur. There's a reason that children cannot tolerate, especially foods like gluten and casein. And there are other foods that they don't tolerate, and I'll cover those briefly. And when we look at deficiencies, I'm going to cover those. Zinc is the most common, I would say, vitamin A, biotin. Why so many deficiencies? When you have gut problems, you're not absorbing. When you have higher metabolic needs and metabolic defects, we look at such things as methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase deficiency. Very common. Not routinely tested. We ask our pregnant moms to do this before they're pregnant. This is the folic acid, B12, B6, methylation aspect that will cause miscarriages, birth defects, spina bifida. I've had patients who have had 12 or more miscarriages, and when they were finally tested for MTHFR, they were found to be positive. Many of our children on the autism spectrum have this MTHFR defect, and when we test the mothers, that is also a common finding. So if you've just tuned in, we're talking about autism. I'm Dana Lake, your host, and you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We're going to be right back after this break with some more good information on autism.
The moment you feel achy or run down, nip flu-like symptoms in the bud with Boron's Acylococcinum. Clinical studies show that Acylo, when taken at first signs of flu, reduces the duration and severity of flu-like symptoms such as headache, body aches, chills, and fever. For 65 years, families throughout the world have relied on Acylo. It works safely and naturally without causing side effects like drowsiness or interacting with other medications. Keep Acylo on hand and feel like yourself again. Acylo is available at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Acylo on the web at acylo.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. That's right, raw. Made with the highest quality standards to preserve raw nutrients,
uncooked, untreated, unadulterated. They are binder-free with no fructose, maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, or cornstarch. With live enzymes and probiotics, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is hot plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, were developed by Chris Kilham, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants from the Science of Enzymatic Therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. ProBalarti from Metagenics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for healthy intestinal function. ProBalarti provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. ProBalarti is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, trying to bring you a wide variety of information all about you and your health. The show is streamlined through myvillagegreen.com. You can visit the site, and you can listen to any show we've had in the past. You can download it to your MP3 player, iPod, and enjoy. Did want to tell you that we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and next Sunday, Kevin's going to have a discussion about fish oils and omega-3 fatty acids. Now, we have been talking about autism throughout the show. We've talked about the definition. We've also talked about the prevalence, that it is truly increasing, and that the major takeaway is that it's environmental modification of gene expression, that we change the way our genes express themselves positively or negatively by what we do that's positive or negative. And that's called epigenetics. It has been well defined, well studied, and quite understood. So this is relatively new since the findings occurred in the mid-80s. Very exciting. One of my colleagues has been one of those major researchers. And I'm always fascinated to hear about what they understand now about gene expression. So you may come into the world with predisposition to diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol. We can talk about lots of things, autism, ADHD. But the level to which you experience that predisposition is dependent on what you do or what is done to you. And when we look at autism, we're looking at total load. How many straws are on a camel's back and how strong is the camel? So the straws I look at as environment, the camel is the metabolic, nutritional, digestive status of the person. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the diets, and a lot of people have questions about what these diets are, and they worry about children not getting everything they need. If you're familiar with a child with autism, most of them have very picky appetites, and there are some basic reasons for those appetites. They have zinc deficiency. So with a poor appetite, they're not going to be eating a wide variety of foods, especially vegetables, and often not even proteins. But they will eat the white diet, sugars, and starches, which increase your need for insulin to handle the glucose
and depletes zinc because zinc's part of insulin. So we'll talk more about that. What are some of these diets, the autisms and their diets? Well, first of all, the core is the healthy diet. Then there's gluten-free, casein-free. There's the low-phenol diet, the SCD, GAPS diet, the low-oxalate diet, the body ecology anti-yeast diet, elimination diets, and rotation diets. Now, I can't go into all of these, but I'm going to give you an overview of each one of these diets. I'll focus first and say the core is a healthy diet. A child who already has multiple defects in nutrient sufficiency, GI problems, metabolism problems, can't tolerate eating pesticides and chemicals. And even children who aren't predisposed to autism or ADHD are negatively affected by these. But children who already have challenges are affected. So the first thing we say is go organic. And I talk about this on the show all the time, so I'm just going to skim over the basics. Avoiding all artificial sweeteners, all of them. They are all bad for you. High fructose corn syrup. All sodas, diet and regular. No child should be drinking a soda any more than they should be drinking a martini or a whiskey sour. Hydrogenated oils, trans fats, margarines, they get in the brain. They block DHA, which is the omega-3 fatty acid necessary for brain structure and function. All deep-fried foods, artificial additives, coloring, flavors, MSG. Sugar and caffeine, refined grains, breads, pasta, crackers, cold cereals. And a lot of people say, no, I only use whole grains. When they're refined, they're refined. And they're glycemic, they raise blood sugar. Processed foods, any food to which a person reacts, and foods that are craved. And then that leads us into the autism diet. So we talk about a healthy diet, and we give lots of good information about how to accomplish that. And then we look at the gluten-free, casein-free diet. Now, what is that all about? Gluten is wheat, oat, barley, rye, spelt, and kamut. And milk products are milk products, anything made from animal milks. We include goat and sheep milk in this initially, but they are more like mammals' milk, more like human milk. And so what we suggest with regard to milk products is that all animal milks be avoided. When everything's looking good, you might do a trial. So the gluten-free, casein-free diet is free of glutens, wheat, oat, barley, rye, spelt, and kamut, no milk products, and when to use it. How do you know if a child is going to do well on this diet? It's not hard. That's all they crave. Macaroni and cheese, yogurts, ice cream, bread, crackers, cookies. And if they don't get it, they have complete meltdowns. That is withdrawal. That's what withdrawal is. So if that's all they eat, and parents panic, they say, I can't not feed my child this. GI, constipation, diarrhea, any kind of digestive symptoms, poor focus and eye contact. Many of the children have done a 180 when they go on this diet, and their language improves, and you get eye contact. They can act silly, have obsessive-compulsive symptoms. Self-injury is very common. They may bang their heads. They have high pain tolerances because these foods give them opiates, their own dope. And they can have increased sensory issues, including stims, which are clapping. There can be verbal stims. So what we do is eliminate these because they're opioid food sources. I will explain that. What happens typically is improved focus, attention, eye contact, and behavior. It reduces stims, cravings, picky appetite, and GI issues. So how does this work? First of all, proteins that we eat have to be digested by enzymes into many amino acids. There can be 20,000 amino acids in a protein, okay, that are 20,000 amino acids long. So the digestive enzymes have to break it up. If they don't, that food is useless to you. You cannot use protein. You can only use the amino acids from digested protein. Now, what happens if the gut isn't healthy and some of those are maldigested, those peptide chains can cross through this unhealthy leaky gut. How do we get a leaky gut? And that is actually an official term now. It's enhanced intestinal permeability. It comes from antibiotics. It can come from a wide variety of conditions, an infection. And instead of the screen keeping flies out of your room, the screen has a hole in it. Your gut keeps large molecules and toxins out. But if it's leaky, they get through and they challenge immunity. Now, what happens is gluten and casein, milk casein, have opiate peptides within those chains of amino acids. They are too large to cross. They are designed to quiet the gut, to calm the gut, to work in the gut. They weren't designed to be absorbed and go to the brain and have an addictive effect and a negative effect on development, eye contact, focus, attention. So many adults have these problems. We can measure these opioid peptides. They have names. The gluten forms gliadorphin. Casein forms casomorphin. And we can identify those, measure them in urine. They can also be measured in blood, in saliva, in the cerebral spinal fluid, and even in mother's milk. Now, there's some other diets that take phenols out. And the person that needs the diet to remove phenols is not functioning well with an enzyme called PST. We can identify that. Phenols are very good for you, the food ones, the dark, deep vegetables have phenols. It's just that you don't handle it. But the salicylates that come in medications are the problem. How do you know your child has that problem? Because they react to medications with aspirin or salicylates or bright coloring. And they also are silly, and they get red ears and red cheeks. So that was just a small sampling. I mentioned deficiencies in zinc, which impair immunity, increase inflammation, change picky appetite, and alter sensory development and sensory function. Zinc is common because it depletes toxic metals and is depleted by toxic metals. Omega-3 fatty acids, major as far as deficiency, especially DHA, and we need direct sources. Although it's good to eat beans, nuts, and seeds, we need those direct sources. Biotin, another deficiency. Vitamin A affects eye contact, vision, vision function, vitamin D, and magnesium. Neuromuscular excitability when magnesium is low, so you'll get sound sensitivity, hyperactivity, tick-like behaviors. So this is just a sampling. We'll cover this in another show. I promise we'll come back and talk about autism and how we treat it. And for those of you that have just tuned in, you're on with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. And I want to thank you, listeners, for taking the time today to join us. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. Please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take. It's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.